Oh, g'day, Roo. Wednesday morning. How are you?
No, I'm good, Dits. I'm very good. Bit croaky this morning, actually. Oh. I don't know what's going on.
What have you been doing? Misbehaving?
No. Far from it, in fact. But, we have got a different sort of show today.
Why do you say that?
Well, we've got more swimming controversy.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Brad Ebert from Port, who are on the ropes at the moment. We've got comedians coming on. We've got the metros coming on, which are always good for a laugh. We've got a new prime minister. We've got serial killers in Canada.
Yeah.
Who we thought we had people missing that thought they were dead, but are now prime suspects.
Amazing. You're right. No, it's action-packed and it's different today. How do we fit it all into 3 hours?
Plus, we've got 50K kick giveaways. We've got one night in September tickets to give away, and we've got Google Home Minis to give away and a new contest that we do in about 20 minutes.
Are we on till about 6 o'clock tonight?
Let's get into it, Dits. Hurry up.
Ruined It's on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruined Dits Overnight Sports.
For the hottest deals on home heating, nobody beats Mannix.
Roo, yesterday Tex Walker came here into the studio and he answered all of the hard questions.
Yep.
Yesterday his co-captain, Rory Sloane, in fact, we'll get to him talking about Tex in a moment, but first up, he's not entirely blaming the forward line for your woes at the moment.
Oh, it's not just him, it's midfielders pressing in to help outnumber and really help put pressure on as well. And yeah, nothing's ever dependent on just one line. It's a team game for a reason, and yeah, a lot of it's dependent on both the forwards and mids working together.
What he means by that is, you know, they talk about that you hear the word press in the commentary sometimes, or people probably don't know what they're talking about. And that's when a majority of your team push towards the forward line and squash it in. So it's not just the six forwards to try and hold the ball in, it's the midfielders running hard forward to try and take away the space of the defenders running out.
Yep, for sure. All right, here he is defending his co-captain, Tex.
The captain, or one of the co-captains at our footy club for a reason. It's not just about his performance game day. It's about everything else that he brings. The demand he puts on the side, the demand he puts on that forward group, and just the way he leads game day. I love, and I'll continue to back him in. I need him out there, and we all need him out there.
It's been quoted as saying that we stand taller when Tex is out there. Another ally is Wayne Carey. The Duck was on Channel 7 last night. This is what he's had to say about Tex Walker.
When you look at Tex, don't get me wrong, he's had an up and down period, but if you look at his goal assists over the last 5 or 6 weeks, I think he's fifth in the competition. So for setting up goals for his team. So on the weekend, 8 disposals and a goal, not good enough. Do you drop Tex Walker? Categorically not.
That's a big category.
It's pretty strong,
isn't it? Yeah, well done, Duck. A couple of good grabs there, Dits.
And I was trying to allude to it yesterday too, Roo. I know Tex isn't the sort of player that gets 30 touches a game, but I just think what he does is pretty clever. He's a clever footballer.
No one questions what he does when he's got the ball in his hand, like the goal he kicked on the weekend. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
All right, hey, at Port Adelaide, Ken Hinckley's been quoted as saying that Carl Amon has bought a house. Because you remember in the off-season, Carl Amon, there was talk about him trying to go to other clubs and being traded. I saw a story on 7 News last night
saying that
Melbourne clubs are interested in him all of a sudden.
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's playing well. And he's an outside runner and they're in hot demand.
Yep. So anyway, Ken Hinckley yesterday said, look, I can tell you that he's just bought a house here. Now, you can still buy a house and leave. I mean, it's an investment, but...
Well, Dangerfield bought a pub and left.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you know what? He went in with the wrong people.
He did.
Which pub did he buy?
I'm not sure which one it is.
He didn't like his partners. I want to talk about the swimming room.
Yep.
Now, you know the Mac Horton situation yesterday, right?
Yep.
Now, this has exploded again overnight. This fella from China, Sun Yang, is not winning any friends. Now, how's this for a story? He won the gold medal in the 800 freestyle. Now, Mac Horton didn't even qualify for the final, so he's out of the picture now. But Mac Horton, it turns out, after his stance or non-stance on the dais, goes back to the village and walked into the dining room, and there was a standing ovation, all right? So athletes everywhere have stood up and applauded what he did.
Yep.
No one likes a drug cheat, apparently. So then yesterday in the 800 freestyle final, Sun Yang doesn't actually win the race, but then the fella that did win it got disqualified, so he ends up with the gold medal. All right, a Lithuanian swimmer got disqualified for moving on the blocks at the start of the race.
Right.
So Sun Yang ends up with the gold medal. They're standing on the dais, and now a Scotsman who wins the bronze goes from fourth into third, called Duncan Scott. He stands there and says, well, I'm not standing up with you either. I'm doing what Mac Horton did.
So it's happened again.
So it's happened again. The Chinaman, Sun Yang, loses it on the dais. And you'll see this on the on the news services right around Australia today. Yeah. He starts going berserk on the podium. And in fact, you'll hear him here what he says to the Scotsman.
You lose her. I'm winning.
Watch this. It got right in his face. Duncan Scott handled it beautifully, but he was right in his face. I won, he's saying.
So it was hard to pick up, but he said, you're a loser. This is what Sun Yang says to the Scotsman. Loser. You're a loser, because he refused to shake his hand, as Mac Horton did.
I'm a winner.
Yeah. Now, the other part of this story is that the Olympic movement have come out overnight and said, in future, if you refuse to stand on the dais, we will strip you of your medal. So no matter what your personal beliefs are or what your personal protests are, you must stand on the dais. So you, at the Olympics in Tokyo next year, you'll be stripped of your medal. So that's pretty drastic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is. But you'd like to think that they've got everything sorted out before the Olympics in terms of who's competing and who's smashing vials and who's getting drug tested and who's clean and who's not.
Nah, juicy story, though.
Very juicy. Tips.
All right, that's our look at sport. Ruined it's on Triple M.
Will Anderson's coming up next. He has got a very, very interesting question to ask our listeners.
Triple M. On Ruin Dits for Breakfast, it's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Wow, this is massive. It's one of the biggest shows in Australian TV history, believe it or not, ratings-wise. We're talking MasterChef. And overnight, the three judges, I don't know if they've resigned, were they pushed, did they get sacked? Let's find out. Peter Ford, good morning.
Yeah, interestingly, no one's saying sacked. The word we used to use a lot was TV axe. The TV axe falls. And I guess it comes down to contract negotiations. They simply couldn't agree on terms. So I guess they just simply weren't renewed. But it's interesting because, you know, today George Kalambaras is saying, oh, it was about the dates. We couldn't make the dates work, but it wasn't about the money. Gary Meehan saying, oh, we just need more free time to explore our creativity, but it wasn't about the money. But Matt Preston saying, yeah, it was about the money.
Yeah. So, have they got a deal with Netflix or not?
I don't think there's anything in place. I don't think they've pulled that together yet. I'm sure there probably will be something, because a lot of people may not realise that the three of them are actually very high profile and popular around the world, because we on-sell our MasterChef show to different parts of the world, and the three of them go to India, they go to the Middle East, they go to Ireland, doing these live gigs, and loads of people turn up. So that's the sort of thing Netflix would like, because Netflix works on a kind of international level. They would think, yeah, we can do something with these guys. But of course, what they haven't got, they don't own the rights to MasterChef, so they'll have to dream up some new format.
Yeah, but 40 Dits has always told me you don't go for a massive pay rise and to do less work unless you've got another deal in the background.
There's something in place. There has
to be. You can't roll the dice and play that game unless you think you've got something else to fall back on, because, you know, let's face it, nobody is indispensable, and there's a lot of people within the network, 10, who are saying, you know what, it probably was time to rejig it anyway and give it a new lease of life. So I don't think they're that totally devastated by it in there. And the sort of money they wanted was just not viable in the current environment. You know, that they wanted, well, they started off asking for $1.5 million each, and that was a guaranteed 2 years, like $1.5 million.
$9 million total, wasn't it?
Yeah, $9 million total. And they were willing to come down a bit, but the decision was made, and the decision was made in New York, not in Sydney, because it was CBS, was that, no, we just can't go there. That's just too much. So basically, they're out. But I think you're right. I think there'll be something else brewing pretty quickly. And even if it's not Netflix, there'll be a production company who will come to them and say, look, we'll pay you this base salary, but then every country we sell it to will give you an extra 50 grand or something.
That's right. So they want a $1.2 million more for three blokes than 515 underpaid workers wanted out of George Kalambaras.
Oh, you're very mean, and you're forgetting this is for
Twitter yesterday.
This is for 4 months' work a year, don't forget. You know, I would love it last night. I wish last night's grand finale had been live and they could have gone rogue and really said what they thought. That would have been brilliant.
That's reality TV.
Yeah.
Hey, who's going to take over? Any whispers about the next MasterChef judges?
No shortage of people. I know that they're saying, some of the reports today are saying that Maggie Beer and Poe and Curtis Stone are already locked in.
Curtis Stone would be a big get, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Paquetá's going to be very good. But I don't know if that's true that they're locked in. They certainly would be considered. But, you know, Justin Schofield, don't forget somebody. They sent her off to the jungle this year, so somebody's really pushing for her. Kylie Kwong. There's no shortage of people. The other problem with Maggie Beer is that she sold her food business a couple of months ago. Part of the deal is that she's not allowed to be involved in the promotion of any other food products for, I think, five years or something. So that could be a bit of a hurdle to have to get around. But there's no doubt that they can find brand new people to front the show, and it'll probably be exactly what the show needs.
Yeah, but you say that, Pete. Just has this got a bit of Channel 9 footy show about it? Like, once you've perfected it and it's one of the biggest shows, I mean, it's hard to replace people, you know, sometimes.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is a risk, but George had to go anyway. I mean, George had, there's no way they could have brought him back next year with that scandal. I think Gary and Matt, this determination that we are going to stick together, I don't think they're fully comprehending how angry people are out there with George. I mean, I know things blow over, but don't forget it's not really going to blow over because George has to now go out and be the public face of, you know, ripping people off. That's part of his deal, right, is that he has to actually go and do this public contrition and remorse all the time. So people are going to be constantly reminded about it.
All right. Good on you, Pete. It's a big, big story in the world of TV. Peter Ford.
Have a good one.
Hey, Dits, it is time to give us a call right now as well. If you want to kick for $50,000 cash on 133353, the question is, what did Dits's wife, Kate, had to put on the electricity box to stop Dits cutting the power in order to try and get a special cuddle? All right, you got the question. What did Kate put on the electricity box to stop Dits cutting the power? 133353, if you want a kick for $50,000 cash.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, the UK, we have many, many, many British residents here in Australia. The UK has got a new Prime Minister.
Yeah, exactly right. It only took 150,000 votes to work out who it should be as well, which I'm a bit surprised about. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't understand that system. I heard one of our announcers, Luke Boner, say this morning, he looks like an unmade bed, this bloke. And he really does Boris Johnson. Let's go to our UK correspondent, Gavin Gray. Gavin, an unmade bed. He is a bit untidy at times.
Yes, he is. But I have to tell you, Ruud, it's that a lot of that is put on. Actually, you know, I think sometimes in front of the cameras just before he starts speaking, he will sometimes ruffle his hair up a bit. Whether
really?
It's a deliberate thing or not, I don't know. But it makes him a gift for impersonators, a gift for cartoonists. Let's hope he's a gift for the UK.
Is he going to ruffle up a few feathers when he's in office? He's been compared to Trumpy a little bit, hasn't he?
He has indeed, and Donald Trump tweeting that he thinks he's a great guy and will be a great leader. Of course, the UK will need its friends like Australia, New Zealand and America because once Brexit is underway, if we can trade with the rest of the world, which is what Brexit was all about, then it'll be relinking, rediscovering those links with the Commonwealth, rediscovering our trading relationship with America, and because we couldn't do that when we were part of the EU. We have to trade everything through the EU, and they made the decisions for us. So let's not mistake, he's got a very tough act. He's got to convince the European Union leaders they need to come back to the negotiating table. They say they won't. Let's see. I suspect they will. He's got, though, a paper-thin majority of just three in Parliament, and frankly, that's going to be his biggest stumbling block.
No doubt about that. How did the system work? He won 90-odd thousand votes to 40-odd thousand. Who are the people that vote for this?
Yeah, Conservative Party members. So in other words, people who have joined up to support that political party. Now, this isn't the first time we've had a coronation as such, because you'll remember that old Brown took over from Blair, Theresa May took over from Cameron, you know, and those were done without elections. It is when a party is in power but the leader gives up midterm that this happens. The different parties have different systems. The Conservatives have this system where there were, each candidate was being one knocked out per day, whittled down to the final two, and then it was a postal ballot of the 160,000 members. Interestingly, the leader of the opposition has pointed out Boris Johnson may have the support of 100,000 supporters and members of his own party, but he does not have the support of the country, according to the opposition.
Now, Gavin, not that this is important, but Boris isn't exactly an Anglo-Saxon name. Every time I hear his name, Boris Johnson, it makes me think of a Russian spy or something. What's his parents' background?
Yeah, a very interesting background. He was actually born in New York, I would say middle to upper class, effectively. His brother as well, Joe Johnson, he's in Parliament. He's been as an advisor. He's been helping out before. He did resign, incidentally, over Brexit, bizarrely. So it just goes to show you how his own family are split. He and his sister as well disagree on the problems of a Brexit or no Brexit. So how's this for a name? Alexander Boris De Pfeffel Johnson.
Right.
I love the De Pfeffel. Born Upper East Side, New York. He did attend Eton College, of course, that famous school, so yet another prime minister out of Eton, and then went to Oxford and was at Oxford with David Cameron. So that's his sort of background. And, you know, he, as you say, quite a posh family. There's an element of Turkish descent through his family as well. And as you say, he just, you know, he's different. But after 3 years of deadlock, when people voted to leave the European Union and we still haven't, maybe something different is what we need.
Good on you, Gavin. Thanks so much for joining us. Gavin Gray, our UK correspondent. We have Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Coming up very, very shortly, Brad Ebert's going to join us. Dits, I'm looking forward to having a chat to Ebo about what is happening at Port Adelaide at the moment. That's coming up shortly.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Roo and Dits for breakfast. Roo, a lady that comes to visit us from time to time, local comedian Georgie Carroll. She's with us this morning. Georgie, hello.
Morning, boys.
Thanks for popping in.
Oh, no, it's nice.
Now, you've just been through school holidays with a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. How did you get on?
Well, you lot went to Hamilton, didn't you, I reckon? Yeah. Yeah, I think you had it easy.
We tried to leave them up there.
Do you know, you haven't got the teenagers yet, mate. You know I love them, but there can be too much of a good thing. Getting a teenager to leave the house, it was easier to get them out of me in the first place. I cannot. You know, they're just there the whole time. You can't. When they're little, easy.
Yeah.
You just kind of, oh, do you want to go to a church and glue cardboard and polystyrene together? And they're going, get in! Great, Mom! Let's do it! Can you believe I had a mate at the hospital, single dad, and when he had his kids in the school holidays, he used to take them to watch court cases. Because it was a free day
Cheapskate.
Out. It was a free day out. Teenagers, you can't get them moving.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to get them. Who doesn't like swimming?
Swimming, no.
Who doesn't like? Yeah. Do you want to go swimming? And Tom, the 15-year-old, was like, nah. I'm like, why don't you want to go swimming? It's raining. I'm like, and? I'm going to get wet. Yeah. Well, that was the point of swimming. Do you know, crack on, son. Get in, but he won't go. No. When I was at the pool, I came across this.
Oh, so you did get him there then?
Well, I love Elizabeth. I went on my own.
Oh, right.
I went on my own. Elizabeth Aquadome's my happy place.
Right.
Do you go?
No.
It's got good water.
Good water, is it?
Yeah.
Warm water?
It's just the right amount of chlorine. I don't know. Elizabeth's doing it well.
Doesn't sting your eyes?
Yeah, it's just a good place. Anyway, in the changing rooms, there's this 15-year-old, and I was like, oh, good on you. Getting out, doing some swimming. Mm. Chatting to her. She'd been there 3 hours.
In the change rooms?
Pretty much. And I was like, anyway, it wasn't that she loved swimming. She had 8 brothers at home.
Oh, no.
So it's not that she loved swimming. You've just got to... Yeah, so it was a bit of an epiphany. You've just got a mate. Inside the house, worse than going out. That's your plan, isn't it?
8 brothers, that's a handful.
Well, you've got a bit of that going, haven't you? You've got 6
I've got
at
4
home
boys
you...
in there, and I know my daughters are pretty happy to get away from them at times. So
I know, and you chose a job where you have to leave the house before anyone wakes up.
Yeah, I was very handy when I got this job, know? I can tell you.
Were you out all the time? Were you just out all the time, Dits?
Yeah. I was overseas, actually.
Do you know why? Because you didn't have Wi-Fi.
Really?
That's why you were out all the time, I reckon.
They hate not
having
Wi-Fi.
You just had a frying pan and a tangerine and a dream of being the Beyonce of squash.
The Beyonce.
It's what you had.
But do they get worse, do they, at teenagers?
I love them. You know me, I adore the teenager. I reckon.
You reckon
just
they're the right age?
They're a little bit like aliens. They talk a different language. There's different words now.
Yeah.
Would you know what sket is?
Sket.
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 No, what's that?
Sket is the new word for a promiscuous lady.
Really?
Yes.
A sket.
A sket.
I've never heard that.
So sket. So sket is the word. In a great progression of feminism, there is now a word for boys that are promiscuous as well. It's derogatory. Well, you can't say it on Breakfast Radio. Right. If anyone wants to find it out, find me on Facebook. I'll turn your inbox blue.
Right, okay.
So that sket is a word. Mm. We've got rid of the word lame altogether.
Lame's doesn't exist anymore.
No, you don't say lame. You just roll your eyes and talk now.
Oh, I hate the roll of the eyes.
The roll the eyes and talk. But lame is now a lame word, but there's no word to replace lame.
Right.
Do you know the worst faux pas you could do? Social suicide around your teenagers if you want to connect with them. Dab. Dab. Dab or floss. Dabbing and flossing is out. Dabbing and flossing is out. Fossy bopping is in.
What? Bopping. This was flossing in Hamilton.
You
actually.
Were flossing?
I was, yeah.
You were flossing,
very
mate.
Badly.
And was that received well by the primary school community?
They thought it was funny, I think. Yeah.
Not quite lame yet.
I've told him just to laugh at his joke.
You tell
just keep his confidence up.
You know, you've got a fossy bop now.
And what is that?
Fossy bopping is like a relative of the sprinkler.
Roar.
If you want to see it online, look at Stormzy, UK rapper Stormzy. He's the one who's kicking that off.
Right.
And it's a lot easier for those of you with dicky hips and frozen shoulders than the flossing was.
Right, that's good to know. Hey, I've got to detox my kids off phones and iPads after being on holidays because you use them on planes and getting around.
Well, I've got
stuff.
Some good news for you. Fortnite is taking out now. Nobody's wanting Fortnite anymore.
Good.
Are you all up for Fortnite?
No, I'd never let them get on it.
Never let them get on it? It was riveting.
I probably just didn't. I've heard a lot of horror stories, so.
What do yours do on there then?
I don't know.
Yes, you probably know. You should probably know
they're
what they're
youngish.
Doing.
They're only youngish, so they're not too bad. Yeah.
Hey, Georgie, thanks for coming in. We love
no
it when you
worries,
pop in.
Mate.
There you go, Georgie Carroll.
Thanks.
Triple M.
Leave it. Leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert
takes the mark.
Ebert.
Oh, Rui's bandaged up like a Vietnam War vet. Have a look at it.
I thought you had lost your leg.
I got a helmet on just to be safe, you know, walking in.
What a year you've had, eh? You're out with a concussion now. Tell us about this massive brace on your leg. What's going on?
Like an amputee.
It looks a bit more fancy than what it really is, I guess. Just ended up tearing the PCL. So it was like a grade 2 tear. I think we talked about it last week. Normally sort of 6 to 8 weeks. And, if we start looking okay, I'll really try and push hard and see how we go.
I still don't understand. No operation. So if there's a tear in there, it'll just fix itself.
It heals itself.
Really?
Yeah. And especially because I didn't completely rupture it.
Yep.
It still was partially connected. So really it's just keep it straight for a couple of weeks, start getting it moving after that, and then... Progress as quickly as we need. Yeah,
pretty tough these Eberts, Dits.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Now, the finals, getting on the borderline. You're on 8 wins.
We are.
GWS this week.
Yeah.
Essendon away.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney at home should win that one. North away.
Yep.
Winnable and Freo at home. How many do you reckon? You usually have to win 12 to get in, don't you?
I was thinking, I guess if you're winning 4 out of 5, then
you're a chance.
Putting ourselves into a decent chance, yeah.
And that's gettable if you get on a roll, but fair to say, never really looked like it last Saturday.
Last Saturday, I thought we had a fair few patches where we were playing some okay footy. At the start of the game, it wasn't ideal, but then we started playing okay. I just think that, I think I've talked about it probably, but turnovers killed us. There is a set marking inside in our forward 50 was disappointing, and they were able to just, you know, run in numbers. You could see that they were just coming and coming and coming. And so, I thought for the, even in the third quarter when people were getting stuck into Exe and...
Who's Exe?
Xavier Dersma.
Yeah.
And even, at that point, I thought, he'd kicked a goal to get us back within 16 points. I thought, this could be the turning point. But it wasn't meant to be. Yeah, well, it wasn't.
Then they kicked the next.
And then that was game over, yeah.
He wasn't putting the bow and arrow into his own side. He wasn't letting that out. They scored a few.
I couldn't believe the fact that he was copping. I was a bit disappointed there because it's... if anyone watched any of his games, he's been doing it every game.
He's a very good player.
And he's just a young kid that's enthusiastic. Yeah.
Everyone's got their own opinion on that one.
Yeah, and that's it. They do. And I'm sure people have talked about it enough. But, we definitely stand by him, mate.
I'm really interested to know what the big focus was whenever you have your main meeting to review. Was it Monday morning or whatever? Mm. What is it that's being said after these bad losses? The Western Bulldogs loss to me was a bad one. Hawthorn, we can go through others as well. But what is the absolute focus right now that you believe is letting you down?
Yeah, well, I guess on the weekend we talked about, well, a lot of it was from those turnovers, you know. So where that broke down, why that broke down, and a lot of it was more, not so much skill errors as such, but probably just taking the wrong option
decision
at the wrong
making.
Time. Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing, though.
Hang on,
right?
Here's
a question. How do you address it? Because it's easy, you know, a group of coaches can stand up, and you can see it on the video yourself and go, oh, yeah, turnovers. Yeah, no, turnovers cost us.
Yeah.
That's a statement, right?
Yeah.
What does a coach then say? How do we stop doing that?
Well, this is the thing. And so then from there, the vision showed what we were doing, but it wasn't necessarily us just kicking straight to the opposition. It was the play, how it unfolded to get to that point. So a lot of it was just around making the right choice at the right time, position of the ground, what choice we're making, and what can speed us up at the right time compared with, you know, how we should play a little bit more composed at times. So I think that there's a lot of...
So you are breaking it
down.
Yeah,
there's a lot of breakdown, but when we're doing it, we're not just saying, oh, you know, geez, turnovers, or what about those marks inside 50 for them? I couldn't believe it. And it's like, well, hang on a second, how did that come about? You know, probably from stagnant ball movement from us, forwards not getting back, you know, the mids not being able to reset. No, hang on, there's an extra player for them and they take a mark. So there's a lot more to it than just, oh, geez, Grimes took everything. So behind the scenes, we are watching it, we're breaking it down and we're training to get better. So, mate.
That's
so,
good.
Yeah.
No. Good answer.
Dits will sleep well tonight now. Hey, look, I think Richmond are the informed side in the competition at the moment too. So that is a positive to take out of the game. I think the way they're going at the moment, they're in form. And if I was to pick a grand final this weekend, it'd be Richmond West Coast. So they're never easy to beat on the MCG. It's their deck. They've got a lot of supporters. So it's not all doom and gloom, but you will absolutely need to beat GWS at home this weekend if you are going to play finals. No Callum Ward, no Josh Kelly, no Matt DeBoer, no Patton, and no Cornelio. So they've got three big midfielders out, plus their tagger. It's sitting there to win on the home deck on Saturday night.
It's a good opportunity. And we're always talking each week, we're trying to win and we're making sure that we're putting the right things in place to win. So, yeah, definitely. I think that GWS at our home deck, we have been playing our home deck pretty well most part of this year. And we'll make sure we do it again.
All right, more with Brad Ebert in just a moment. We're going to ask him about the Prez.
Yes. We've got some Koshy stuff to ask. Ebo next.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Okay, we played some David Koch audio to you just a moment ago, him commenting on the fact that Vossi is talking to Carlton at the moment.
Yes.
And Koshy's not too happy about it. I want to ask the board member first. Roo, you're a board member and one of your staff is talking to other clubs. Is that fair game or not?
It's fair game if he's had it approved. Yep.
Had it approved.
Yep, I think so.
Well, I know that.
The reason it came out was because he missed a training session to go over and do it.
Oh, okay.
And he said he had it approved. So if it's approved, it's approved.
Ebo, surely in this modern era, people are going to get approached all the time, whether you be a player or a coach. So it's quite normal, isn't it, that he would talk to another club?
Oh, definitely. I think they have to have their contracts locked in relatively early compared to, you know, say, players and stuff. So I think that the way that it works with that sort of stuff, it hasn't distracted us as players at all. And I think that Vossi was very upfront with what he said he wanted to do. He wanted to be a head coach again. And like you said, it has been approved the whole way through. So from our point of view, I saw there was nothing really wrong with it. Like, to be honest, I'd love to keep Vossi here because I really respect him and really rate what he's been doing at this club. So I want to keep him here and I want to see him at Port Adelaide next year. But if it's at the expense of him not getting a job, you know, at Carlton, I don't want to hold him back from going to that next level and taking the top job. So I think he's definitely equipped and ready to go for that level. So we saw no problem with it.
If I was Michael Voss, and I think if you were Michael Voss, you'd be a bit annoyed, wouldn't you?
With Koshy?
Yeah,
probably.
I know he's passionate, Koshy, but it was a crack at him on national television.
And I think that Koshy finds he needs to speak a lot of hours in the morning, and when a comment comes up, he just has to say it. And I think that there's been a few times where he's said some stuff that might not be at the right time or the right place. But
I love Vossi. I'm a big Michael Voss fan. The way he played, and when I hear him speak, I think he's great. But would the only issue here be if it was your main training session? Because someone is trying to suggest that, that you had your main training session of the week and he was over there meeting with Carlton. Wouldn't you say, wouldn't you say, Vossy, by all means, go over, but after the main training session.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of hours in a week where you can do an interview.
Yeah, I know
what
you mean.
It was a bit strange, that.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, because I'm not 100% sure on the timing. I've obviously been sat inside not really doing too much, so I didn't really see him either there or not there that day. Right. But I guess that's what the cameras were saying, showing and seeing. I thought I saw him that morning, but maybe he took off as the session was getting underway. I'm not too sure.
You look a bit tired this morning, Nebo. Oh, what's going on at home?
Yeah, mate.
You've been out in the town.
It's been fun. Yeah, no, certainly not that.
You've got baby issues,
the opposite. Yeah, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Maybe I need to go out for a night. yes, mate. Yeah. No, he's just had Henry, a young one, just had a little fever for the last couple of nights, and it's been good fun. So I apologise if I haven't been as enthusiastic. As funny as usual.
How old?
Normally
how
we're having a good laugh here, aren't we?
And, how old is he?
He's about 4.5 months. So, yes, good
four
times.
4.5 months in the Ebert family. You're normally kicking both feet.
Yeah,
by
you're
taking marks.
You're doing drop kicks on your left,
and he's not even sleeping.
Come on.
Is he an Ebert?
Well, he's already up. He's up and about. He's doing his touch. He's doing his extra craft in the middle of the night.
We still haven't got your drug test back from about a month ago when you come in here.
Hey, mate, this is just normal Ebo. I was funny. No.
There was something going on, wasn't there?
Well, it was just the fact that we were in a jovial mood, boys. It was good to see you guys lightened up a little bit and had a bit of fun with me.
Maybe was that just after the showdown?
I think it was before the showdown. I think it was before the showdown. Maybe we need to get back to that.
It was mid-concussion.
Give me something funny.
I reckon you hadn't quite fully recovered.
You weren't so scathing on me. We could just have a bit of fun and lighten it up a little bit. You know, I didn't have dits breathing down my throat.
All right. Thanks for coming in again, Evo. And look after that leg. So I take it that is season ending.
Well, I'm not 100% sure yet. We don't want to go completely ruling it out.
Final, we'll be back. Yeah.
There, it's normally a 6 to 8 week injury, and so for me, it's like I would like to push back to get back in near the end of the end of the year. So if that's finals, then that'd be great.
A final statement here, and this is very measured. I'm not getting carried away.
You're doing a koshy.
Sneak into the eight. Right. Yeah. And I said yesterday to Roo and whoever, I can't even remember who it was, but this is going to be a Western Bulldogs type premiership this year.
Yeah.
Play well for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do. The problem is
they have to play well for 4 weeks just to get in there.
I know.
Play well for 8 weeks.
Be the team. Because I said to Roo, if I asked you right now who's the Premier, no one can pick it.
And that's it.
There, then play well for 4 weeks. You'll be back. Play grand final. Bob's your own.
Hey, and you've beaten all the best sides.
There you go.
You've done it before. Not asking you to do anything you haven't done before.
No, I know. And that's what we're talking about as a team. We're making sure that we're getting back up on the horse and going again.
Imagine you squeeze into it and you've got to play the West Coast in Perth. They'll be going, they thrashed us here last time.
I don't
charge for this advice either.
I know. You should get down there.
Get Vossy down there.
We're ready.
And Koshy. Yeah. Good luck,
good
mate.
Thank you,
GWS.
Guys.
Brad Ebert
from Port Adelaide. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo and Ditts for breakfast now. Roo, we know the Mac Horton situation at the World Swimming Championships.
Yes.
He protested against the Chinaman.
Fair enough,
Sun. Yeah, so it's escalated. This is getting out of control. Real bad scenes poolside overnight. Let's go to Channel 7 swimming correspondent Nathan Templeton. Nathan, what's the latest? What's happened now with the Chinese swimmer?
Yeah, good morning, fellas. It's getting really ugly for Fina over there, isn't it? After Mac Horton's protest on the opening night last night, another swimmer, Duncan Scott from Great Britain, did the same thing as Mac. So Sun Yang won the 200 freestyle. Duncan Scott came third. And Scott refused to go up on the podium with him. And unlike the other night with Horton, when Sun didn't really even seem to acknowledge what was happening, last night Sun Yang absolutely blew up. He was yelling at Scott, telling him to get up on the podium. And then as they walked off, he was screaming at him saying, "You're a loser, I'm a winner." So it's getting really, really ugly. And the thing is, Sun Yang is the target of these protests, and make no mistake, the other swimmers do absolutely despise him, not just for drug cheating, but for his behaviour as well. But the bigger picture is this is a protest against FINA. The swimmers don't have any faith in the governing body. They think that they're inconsistent. They're very weak when it comes to dealing with these bigger countries that have, you know, systematic doping programs, including China and particularly Russia. So To give you the full picture, because there's a lot of confusion about Sun Yang. So in 2014, he was banned for a positive test, right? He took some heart medication, did the usual sob story. I didn't know it was on the ban list, all that stuff. But what happened was he was only given 4 months and he was allowed to serve that suspension in between major competitions. So he didn't miss anything important. He also served it in secret. So no one knew. When he finished the ban, they said, oh, by the way, Sun's just completed 4 months ban. Now, last year, drug testers turned up to his home. Now, he says that only one of them had proper accreditation and they started videoing without permission. So his security guard smashed a vial of blood with a hammer. Now, FINA cleared him on that, but WADA has said, no, 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 we're taking this to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. That case is still open. So the swimmers don't think that Sun Yang should be there, allowed to compete. Now, we don't know what's going to happen at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Hopefully he gets a ban and hopefully he misses Tokyo.
So technically he is allowed to swim then, isn't he?
He is, he is. And the swimmers are protesting against FINA, saying he shouldn't be here. He shouldn't be allowed to swim. Because that happened a year ago. The investigation has been so slow. And FINA cleared him, but WADA have appealed it. So it's still going and he is technically allowed to swim. The interesting thing is, he's in the 800 metres final tonight. I don't think he'll win it, but it would be very interesting if he got another medal. Mm. You know, if it happened again, FINA's in a really bad spot, you know, and good on the swimmers, because this was the only way they could make the statement. You know, talking to the media is one thing, but to make such a public stand forces FINA to do something.
It does. And Nathan, just on that point, I heard John Coates speak yesterday. Now, for those that don't know, he's always been involved with the Australian Olympic Committee. He has said that on behalf of the Olympic movement, that if anyone was to do this type of protest next year in Tokyo, they will be stripped of their medal. Now, again, the swimmers are pointing the finger at FINA here, saying that you've been pathetic at the highest level, right at the top. Mm. And we always say that with sporting organisations, you need strong leadership at the top. Well, it appears the swimmers are saying, we haven't got that at the moment. So it's fine for John Coates to say what he's saying, but action needs to be done within the sport of swimming.
Yeah, look, FINA's always been a pretty dodgy organisation, to be honest. It's very much stuck in the past, a lot like some of the Olympic committees and the soccer authorities and things like that. There's corruption.
Yep.
They're very secretive, and so they need to pull their finger out. Now, the Olympic movement is very, very sensitive and protective about things like political statements. And so, you know, I don't think any swimmer would risk it at Tokyo, but this is the perfect platform 1 year out to make these sort of stance and hopefully get some action taken, not just against Sun Yang. It's not that they just want him booted out of the Olympics. They just need to be stronger against these countries that they're scared to stand up to, like China and Russia.
Yep, for sure. Good on you, Nathan. Thanks so much. Channel 7 swimming correspondent. He's all over sport in general, Nathan Templeton. Time for us to go, Roo. What an action-packed morning we've had.
Yeah, we have. It's been a very busy show, and it'll be even busier tomorrow. The Angels will join us. Limo will join us. There'll be plenty happening. Have a great day. She's a bit gloomy outside, Dits, but, yeah, we'll catch you tomorrow, everybody.